Hey, it's Tracy here. In this episode, Dan and I talk all about why innovation is not just a nice to have for not-for-profits. We think you'll like this episode because we cover how innovation is essential. Now, we know you're probably on board with us already, but this will help you with getting the rest of your organization moving from the status quo to creating real impact.
Welcome to the Innovate for Impact podcast. I'm Dan Bentley and I'm joined by Tracy Newman. Before we get into today's episode, we always like to start with an acknowledgement of country. I'm up in Sydney, so I'm on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nations, and I'd like to pay my respects to the elders past, present and emerging.
And I record here in Adelaide, so I would like to acknowledge the Kaurna as the traditional custodians of the Adelaide Plains region and pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging as well.
Today, what we're going to talk to you about is how innovation isn't a nice to have in the not-for-profit sector, and how it's actually essential work that we're all doing, and it actually ensures the survival of not only our organizations, but the support that we provide the people that we care about. So that's what we're going to talk about. Let's get into it.
Great. Yeah. I mean, look, we know innovation is a bit of a buzzword. It's certainly popular. And as people who have a podcast called Innovate for Impact, we get the benefit of that. And often people will sort of seek us out because they are interested in innovation. But there's, a difference between something being of interest and popular versus something being seen as essential. And that's where we sort of see that there's a bit of a continuum whereby some people are like, oh, that's cool, that sounds interesting, oh, that sounds like it's lots of fun, right to the other end of the scale, which is probably, to be fair, where most of the people listening to this podcast are at, which is where, like, yeah, this is essential. This is what we need to be able to do to make sure that we're able to provide the services that people desperately need in the current environment and also into the future environment as well.
Yeah. And look, just to sort of follow on from what Tracy said there, look, we know if you're listening to this podcast, you're on board, right? You wouldn't be listening to this. However, you probably work in an organization, though, where not everybody else is. Or you might be on board with this, but you're not really sure how to get that momentum to sort of get it started. We speak to a lot of leaders that are in that situation at the moment, especially. And that's kind of what we often can help them with, is to get that ball rolling, because it is a different way of thinking. It is a different way of working. And it's not just as easy as just going, hey, everyone, let's go be innovative. It does require a lot of different elements. So what we are going to go through is just a bit about, like, what is the mindset that we need to have? What do we need to be thinking about so that if we're not there, if we happen to not be there completely, that we can get ourselves there, but also how do we also work with others in the organization and get that ball rolling around going from we want to be innovative to being innovative?
Yeah. And look, to be fair, I guess the thing that we hear most commonly where people are challenged with that transition from want to be more innovative to actually nailing it is often that they don't have time. We know demand has increased. We know that there are all these headwinds at the moment, and people seem to be going from crisis to crisis, going, well, you know, as soon as we're through this crisis, then we're going to have more of a focus on innovation. But that's not slowing down anytime soon. The pace of change is actually increasing. So therefore, waiting until the right time isn't necessarily going to get you to where you need to be.
Yeah, the leaders that we see that are having the biggest impact through their innovation is the ones that absolutely recognize that. But they recognize that that is part of this sector. Like, they can't change that they're under-resourced. They can't change that that world is changing around them. They can't change the fact that there's being a whole heap of legislation thrown at them. They're not trying to change those bits. They're trying to just go, right, but if I know that the world is changing around me, and I know that if I don't start to innovate and start to adapt to this world that is changing, that my organization is not staying where it is today, it's actually falling behind. And that's the mindset that we hear from these leaders. And I'm not saying as well, they're not sitting there going, oh, well, let's just ignore it. They're dealing with that stuff. I've quoted this one a few times if you've, you know, listened to other episodes, but there's this great guest we had on a while ago called William Crowley, and he really summed it up just by saying, if I can't change this, then what can I do now? And even if that's something that's really small, what can I actually do today to get started and do something? Because once I do that, I might be able to then do something else, and it will sort of snowball. But I think that sort of stuff is what we're hearing works really well.
Oh, absolutely. And we heard it from a guest just recently, actually, with his organization. He went, you know, we've got this challenge where we can't retain people. And the people who work with us come to us for a very short period of time. But he actually then went, all right, so how do we turn that challenge into an opportunity? And that's what we actually see the most successful leaders are doing. They're not ignoring those headwinds. They're actually looking at them and saying, well, how can we transform these challenges? How can we actually work within the challenges that we're currently facing and find a better solution? And that is the purpose of innovation, isn't it? It's actually about saying, look, we're not pretending these challenges don't exist and going off and playing with new toys. We're actually really tactically and practically saying, okay, so what can we do about these challenges and how can we turn some of these challenges into advantages for our organization just by rethinking the way that we currently do things?
Yeah, that's so true. And I think when we build an organization that's innovative, what are we actually getting? We're actually getting an organization that's adaptable. We're getting an organization that's resilient. So that world that is changing around us that we can't control, if we equip our people through the capability, through systems and processes and changing that culture around creating that innovative organization, what we're actually doing is that we're ensuring the future success of the organization that we're in. And that doesn't just mean from the sake of the organization side of things. It's actually for the support that we provide the people that we exist for. And that's what we are putting at risk when we aren't moving forward and adapting. You know, you look at how the animal kingdom works, you look at how we work as humans, you look at other organizations. It's those organizations that are adaptable that survive. It's those animals that are adaptable that survive the changes of the world. It's the humans that do the same thing. It's a common thing, and it's what innovation gives you is that power to be able to adapt, survive, and to change things for the better.
We see that all the time with the work that we do and with the workshops that we run. You know, when we actually take some time to get people to reflect on, well, what is the cost of not being adaptable? What's the cost of not making these changes? What is the flow-on impact to yourself and your organization? But more importantly, what's the flow-on impact to the people that you currently support? And when people sit there and actually do that work of thinking about, like, what does that look like if we don't change and if we don't adapt and if we're not doing this work, what would that look like in the future? Then that's really quite somber, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Yeah, I've done this with a bunch of different clients and we give them two different horizons, sort of the next 2 years and the next 5 years. And we look at it from two perspectives, the organization and also your client's perspective and the people you support. Most of them are pretty grim what they come up with as the outcomes of not doing this work. So this is not a nice to have. When people do that exercise, they realize this is not a nice to have scenario. This is a critical thing that we need to do in our organizations. I would really recommend anyone listening to this podcast to do that exercise because it can really be helpful for yourself, potentially, if you haven't really thought through just how critical this is. But if you're already on board and you know that, it can be a really great tool for you to be able to talk to others about too. Because sometimes you have to join those dots for people around what was really at risk when we kicked the can down the road for another year or another couple of years. There is a cost of not taking action.
And look, I think the other thing that's really important to consider is that a lot of the innovation that's happening at the moment is really around ensuring that our services and the support that we provide is accessible to broad sectors of the community. We know that there are some people within our community that aren't well represented by the systems that are there to support them that often don't. You know, we know that there are people falling through the cracks and we know that there are people who have some different needs that aren't traditionally well supported by these services. So that's where a lot of the innovation is happening. So, you know, I guess the challenge there is really you've got that moral obligation to make sure that you are innovating your services, to make sure that they are accessible and that they are genuinely meeting the needs of those people in our community who are currently not well served by the systems that are really not well designed for them.
Absolutely. You know, I have a lot of conversations with people how they're like, you know what, the biggest problem is how funding is structured and that needs to change and then we'll change. And I spoke to another leader recently who actually said the complete opposite. She said, like, that's the case. But as a leader of a pretty influential not-for-profit organization, I'm talking to funders about this all the time. I'm not just hoping, waiting. I'm like advocating for the sector. And I think when you look at it from that perspective, you think, geez, how much power do we actually have as leaders in this sector? Like, we could sit there and just go, oh, well, hopefully at some point it will change. But that's something that we have if we do choose. We have that power to actually go out and advocate. We do it for our people, but are we doing it for our organizations to get what they need to be able to do an even better job for our people? I think that's just a really interesting something that I've been thinking a little bit about lately after speaking to that particular individual.
Yeah, I was actually speaking to a parent and they were talking about the same thing. And they were actually saying, you know, my child is not a series of funding buckets. My child is a human being and they have needs and those needs don't fit neatly into a funding bucket. So that's the personal outcome of funding buckets. And really, who's going to change that if not the leaders who are the most equipped, that have the highest understanding, that are best able to influence real change? That is absolutely the opportunity that the leaders in the sector have at the moment, is actually to design this. How do we innovate together? How do we work collaboratively? How do we actually shift the dial on some of the much more complex social problems? And that's really the call to action for leaders at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. We're all in this together, you know, and I think if we can look at obstacles like that and work together to try and to change that status quo, then we'll all be better for it, rather than sort of just waiting for it to hopefully happen at some point and these guys wake up and go, oh, let's actually change that whole thing. I think we really need to be talking about it and doing whatever we can. I think the other thing is as well, when I talk about obstacles, is talk to your people about what's getting in their way. What are those obstacles that are stopping them? I think one of the things that we see when we work with organizations is that we're saying, like, let's be more innovative. Everyone's like, yeah, I want to be more innovative. But there's obviously reasons why people aren't doing it. And I think sometimes getting that list and understanding what those things are can be a really great starting point to then go, well, how do we get rid of some of those obstacles? How do we move around some of those obstacles and do things differently? You know, one of the things that we quite often talk about is, like, just get started and do something. It might not be perfect, but it's better than not doing anything, because you do build that momentum. And the other thing is there something else that you're doing today that doesn't serve you well that you might be able to stop doing, so that you're not just asking your people to do more, you're actually changing the way you work so that maybe it comes out at the same result in terms of time spent and all those sorts of things. So that's just a few things that we talk to our clients about regularly that might help as well, you trying to get more of this stuff happening in your organization.
Oh, absolutely. You know, consistent small activity has the ability to, over time, move mountains. So just doing those small things to start small, build momentum, let it expand, is always more sustainable and also much more successful long term than one big bang activity that hasn't even started yet.
So there you have it. There's a bit of a rundown around something that we're very passionate about, which is around, you know, having more innovation happening in the sector. And I think it does start from how we hold it as leaders. Like we said at the start, everybody that listens to this podcast on board with this stuff, right? We get it. We understand what it looks like, but it is a journey as an organization. It is difficult. And we're hoping that some of those things that we spoke about today, if you are struggling to get it stood up in your organization, might help you get that breakthrough that you need to get started and start to build that innovative, impactful organization that you want. So thanks for joining us. It was a pleasure, and we'll catch you on the next one. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Innovate for Impact podcast. Any links to what we spoke about today will be posted in the show notes. If you'd like to know more about social innovation, visit our website, where we have a heap of tools to help you on your way. Visit impactoconsulting.com.au. Thanks for listening. Now go out there and make an impact.